Okay, Parshas Behar. So the Rabbeinu Bechai starts off with the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Chavches. Lev Tzadik Yehege La'anos, U'Pirishayim Re'yabia Ra'os. The heart of a Tzadik thinks before he responds, and the mouth of Rishayim speaks evil. So the Rabbeinu Bechai explains this differently than what I just said. Well, I just said it comes from Rashi. But the Rabbeinu Bechai explains that it means that a person always says, eventually, what's on their heart. In other words, if you're always thinking something, eventually it slips out of your mouth. As he quotes the Chobos HaLabavos that says, the Lashon is Kulmus HaLev. The tongue is the pen of the heart. So you say what you're thinking, eventually it comes out. So the heart of a tzaddik, he thinks, Anos. What's Anos? So he says it comes from the Pasuk, Admasai Me'anta Le Anos Mi Panai. Right? Which, their uncle is on that Pasuk in Chumash, said Le Anos means Lis Kana. Right? This is Moshe telling over to Paro, how long will it take till you humble yourself before me? So Le Anos means to make yourself humble. So the Lev Tzaddik is Yehege Lanos, the heart of a Tzaddik. Thinks, speaks, is always thinking humble thoughts, and therefore speaks humbly. Whereas the Pi Rishayim, the mouth of Rishayim, speaks evil. So Chazal tell us many, many times about the importance of Anivus, of humility. Like we say, Lo b'shamayim hi, it's not in, the Torah is not in Shamayim, which Chazal make a drasha, they're not by the Gasei Ruach, they're not by, Torah doesn't find itself by people who are in the heavens, meaning people who are very haughty and think they're great. The Torah is found, Torah is compared to water, water always goes to the lowest place, Torah always follows the humble people. I was, just to tell you a quick story, this past weekend there was a Mashgiach conference for OU Kosher, and Rav Herschel Schachter was there, and they had early in the morning before Shacharis they had a Daf Yomi given by one of the Rabbanim at the OU, and this Rav was giving a Daf Yomi shir, and he had a few people listening. They had photocopies because it was in some hotel type place, and Rav Schachter was there. Rav Schachter came over, he sat down, took a photocopy like everybody else, didn't sit off on the side. Like, you know, just that it was like somehow beneath his covered. He sat right down in the Daf Yomi Shir to listen to this rabbi give his Daf Yomi Shir. Now, any of you who know Rav Herschel Schachter, he's the Rosh Yeshiva in YU. He's a very, very, very big Talmud Chacham. Certainly does not need anybody to read him Gemara Rashi. It was an incredible act of humility. I was very, very taken aback when I saw it. The unbelievable humility, someone as great as Rosh Schachter. He walked in, someone was giving a Daf Yomi Shir. He sat down, just like one of the students there, grabbed a photocopy, followed along, smiling the whole time, enjoying it. It was incredible. Torah goes to humble people. Why is Rabbeinu Bechai starting the parsha off this way? Because it starts off with Bahar Sinai. And we know Hashem chose Har Sinai because it was the lowest of the mountains, and Hashem likes humble people. Torah goes to humble people in humble places. Okay, then we have the beginning, the famous drasha at the beginning of the parsha that says, "Ma'inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai." Why does it say the psukim of Shmita? Why are they next to this lashon of Hashem gave said these words Behar Sinai? And the answer of Chazal is just like Shmita, the klalos and the pratim were given by Har Sinai. The general idea and the details were given from Sinai, so to all mitzvos, the general ideas and the details were all given at Har Sinai. So, what does that mean exactly? So Rashi has his pshat. I don't want to get too into confusing with different pshatim. So let's just say the one the Rabbeinu Bechai is focusing on is the Ramban's pshat. The Ramban understands that to mean that there was the general idea of Shemitah was mentioned in Mishpatim. The details of Shemitah are mentioned in Parshas Behar. And that means to say that when the Torah told us in Parshas Mishpatim, one line, V'ashmias tishmatenu natashta v'achliu av yineo mecha, very briefly mentioned Shemitah in Parshas Mishpatim. And then mentions it in details here in Parshas Behar. So just like all of that was said Behar Sinai, so too at the end of Parshas Bechukosai, when it says, these are the words that were said, Behar Sinai, Eila HaMitzvot Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe El Bnei Yisrael Behar Sinai, that last pasuk of Eila HaMitzvot tells you, just like the Shemitah stuff was all said Behar Sinai, so too when we say Eila HaMitzvot were said at Har Sinai, it was said in the same fashion that the general idea and the details were mentioned at Har Sinai. What comes out of here, if you look at the Ramban, it's just important because Rabbeinu Bachai points it out as well. The Ramban has a very, I guess not famous, way of understanding what happened at Har Sinai. And that is, I think if we thought, what was said at Har Sinai? I think most of us would respond, and this is certainly the Shita of, I'd say, many Rishonim. We got the Aseres HaDibros at the beginning of Maimon Har Sinai. And then nothing until Yom Kippur, right? Moshe came down. That's the Pashtus. Moshe got the Luchos. We got the Aseres HaDibros at the beginning of Matan Torah on Shavuos. And then Moshe came down later and broke the Luchos, went back up again, got the Torah, came back down 40 days later, right? On Yom Kippur, he comes and he tells the Jews all the halachos. So in other words, we got the Aseres HaDibros at the very beginning of Matan Torah, and everything else came all the way at the end. After it was broken, he went back up, down, the whole thing. After Yom Kippur, that's when we get everything else. So the Ramban does not learn that way. He understands that Moshe went up. We got the Aseres HaDibros. Following us getting the Aseres HaDibros, Moshe at the beginning on the same day, the Ramban says this in Shmos, in Parshas Mishpatim, the Moshe on the same day that he got the Aseres HaDibros, got all of Parshas Mishpatim, came down and told all of Bnei Yisrael Parshas Mishpatim. Okay, so we had heard all of Parshas Mishpatim before the Luchos were broken. So on the same day we got the Aseres HaDibros, on that first day, when there was no Egel at all, Moshe came down, told the Jewish people the whole Parshas Mishpatim, and at the end of Mishpatim, it says, he went back up, but he wrote it down, he came down from Har Sinai, told everybody what he had learned, the whole Parshas Mishpatim, wrote it down, right, that's the end of Mishpatim, it says he wrote down, and he made a bris, that was with the first bris, with sprinkling the blood on the people. And then 40 days later, when he came down and there was Chet Egel and he broke the Luchos, so then they needed a second bris. And then Moshe goes back up to Har Sinai, comes back down again, and everything he tells us after, from Kisisa and on, in other words, after Chet Egel, from then on, he tells them the Torah, this is part two, the second bris. And then that second bris is not done with sprinkling blood on the people, but rather with the klolos of Bechukosai. That's how it's Nifras. It was, the bris was done based on the klolos at the end of Bechukosai, and everything till then, the making of the Mishkan and all that stuff, that was all part of that second bris. So that comes out, therefore this drasha that we've been talking about till now, means that just like the klolos were said, the klolos of Shemitah, which were said in Parshas Mishpatim, that means the first bris, and the pratim were said in this second bris, so too, all of the Torah was said klolosim, protosim, at Har Sinai, at the mountain. Just Rabbeinu Bachai points that out, the different brises, so I'm mentioning that as well, because I think it's not that well. Okay, so then the Torah tells us about Shemitah, and Shemitah we know is every 7 years, and the Pashup Shad and why we do Shemitah is to show that there's 1 year we don't work the land, to show it's really all Hashem's land and all Hashem runs everything. That's obviously the Pashup Shad, that's what Rabbeinu Bachai says. But he says, Aldas Kabbalah, it's the seventh year is Keneged the Chad Chariv. In other words, we know that Chazal, most of us are familiar, that there's a Chazal that the world will last 6,000 years. And then Chad Chariv, there'll be one where it will be desolate. So it's interesting, the Rikanti says on this, that the Lashon of Chazal is not, and afterwards, Chad Chariv, like the world will last 6,000 years, and afterwards Chariv, it just says it will last 6,000 years, and one desolate. Doesn't sound like that's the end. It's not the end. There's six, and then one desolate. So we don't work the land the seventh year, In Shemitah, it's a remez that the world lasts 6,000 years, and there's one where the world is desolate. What happens after that? Well, I'll just tell you, Rabbeinu Bachai says, we go on to the next book, I'm going to talk about the Yovel. So in Pasuk Ches, it says, you'll count, v'safarti lecha sheva shapso shanim, sheva shanim, sheva pa'amim, you count 7 years, 7 times, and then, v'hayu lecha yimei, sheva shapso shanim, tesha v'arbim shana, it will come out to be 49. And many ask the question, why is the Torah repeating itself? We know 7 times 7 is 49. If you told me to count 7 years, 7 times, I know we're going to work out to 49. So there's different answers, but what Rabbeinu Bachai brings is that he says, Besoda Inyan, that there's going to be, just like we just said, that there are 6 years the world is around, and the seventh year connected the Shemitah, and the seventh year will be 1,000 years of Charuv. There's, after that, there's a whole cycle of Shemitah. I don't know what that means, I'm just telling you what he says. That it will go on, in other words, that the world actually lasts on whatever level for 50,000 years. Not 6, not 7, 50,000. Because you got the year of 6 years of regular, then the year of Charuv, of Shemitah, and then you have, it goes on a total of 50,000 years. Again, I don't know what the world looks like before, during, after, you know, I don't know. I'm just telling you what he says. And he says it's merumas in many places. One in Kohelis where it says, "Haaretz la'olam omedes," the world will last la'olam, which means a yovel, olamo shel yovel. That's 50 yovels, meaning 50,000 years. And he says this is also the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu learned the memtes. Moshe understood the memtes levels of chachma or whatever, and he couldn't get the last one. I'm sorry, the 50 levels of bina. And he didn't understand, he couldn't get to, because that's the super holy one. He says it's all this part of the same idea, connected to the same idea. And he says it's merumas, it says, Dover tiva le'elef dor. Right, we say in Tehillim. Hashem commanded it for elef dor. How much is a dor? So the Rabbeinu Bachai says a dor, a generation, is like olam, like a yovel. 50 years. So 1,000 doors means 50,000 years. And that's merumas also, he says, in the pasuk, Malchuscha Malchus Kol, which is gematria, of course, 50. Malchuscha is Malchus Kol Olamim, tinted through there. And he says, getting back to Shemitah, back to our pasuk, rather, of Yovel, it says, Sheva Shanim, Sheva Pamim, V'hayu Lecha Yemei. It will be for you these 49 days. Lecha is gematria also of 50. To say that there will be this cycle of, there will be for you this 50 cycle, meaning 50 thousands. A full Yovel cycle in this world. So the world will last on whatever level, 50,000 years. Again, I can't tell you exactly what that means. Post the 6,000 years, we don't know what exactly is going to be after that. I don't know what's going to be in after the 50,000. I don't know what it's going to be, but just telling you so you know out there, there's this idea. Why is it called Yovel? This is again, getting back to Pashup Shot. Yovel is Lashon Yuval, to be, pushed over to or rolled to. Everything gets dragged, maybe is a better word, I don't know. Yuval, that's what it means. So just when all the land goes back to its original owner, all the slaves are freed, so everything goes back to its place, their slaves go back to their families, the land goes back to its owners, that's Yuval, that's why it's called Yovel. That's how Rabbeinu Bachai understands it. Again, not like Rashi, it's his pshat. Then we have Ona, do not make people feel bad. It talks about different types of Ona, but one of them is Ona's Dvarim. So the Ramban says that, Rabbeinu Bachai says, the reason why by Ona, it says Hashem hears the person who's suffering from Ona. Like Chazal tells us above Metziah, Kol Hasharim Ninalu Chutz Misharei Ona. All the gates of Tefillah are closed except for the gates of Ona. That means if somebody feels hurt and they daven out to cry out to Hashem, Hashem will hear their pain, which is not good for the person who made them feel bad. But the point, what's important for us here, besides that, is that he tells us why is the person heard. It's because the person, when a person's in pain, they are humbled and they daven with kavana, and that's why Hashem listens. Not necessarily what you would think. It's not because of the onah itself, but more of what it does to the person, since it makes the person humble, and it makes the person daven with kavana, therefore that's why Hashem listens to their tefillos. Something good to remember when you daven. Then we have the halachas of if you have a stei achuzah, you have a property that is yours in Yerusha, in Israel, and you sell it, so we know after the Ovid, it will come back to you. But not only that, when you sell it, so for the first 2 years, if, again, this is your stei achuzah, the piece of land that was your family's in Israel, that you inherited. So let's say you sell it to somebody else. So after Yovel, it'll come back to you. But besides that, when you sell it to someone, you have a right to buy it back, whether they want to sell it to you or not. The owner, if he sells it, Reuven sells his land to Shimon, his stei achuzah, he can buy it back from Shimon, whether Shimon wants to sell it back to him or not, after 2 years. First 2 years, the guy he sold it to gets to eat the fruit of the land. It also has to be a year that produced. And then after 2 years, Reuven can buy it back. Whereas by a house, and at least in Pate Arichoma, you can buy it back. If you sell your house, you can buy it back immediately. And after a year, you can't buy it back. So the Rabbeinu Bechai explains, just in Svara, why that is. Because he says, the Torah wants you to be able to buy back your field because a person needs their field for parnasa, and the person sold their field probably because they're very poor and they needed the money. But the Torah wants to give you the opportunity to get back your parnasa, so you have to give the guy 2 years. After that, you could buy it back. Whereas by a house, he says, a house is super mortifying. Rabbeinu Bechai says to have to sell your house is very embarrassing, and therefore the Torah wants to give you the opportunity to buy back right away. You know, if a person has to sell their house, they have to sell their house. It's not really embarrassing, but the Torah feels bad for that person, so it allows them to buy it back right away. So then we come to something unbelievable, or amazing medrash. In the Pasuk, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Mem Zayin. So the Pasuk Shah in the Pasuk, it says, V'chisasig yad ger v'soshav yimach, v'mach achik yimo v'nimkar l'ger toshav yimach. So if you have this ger toshav, it means a nachri who's a ger toshav, he's living in Eretz Yisrael, and you get sold to him. So to a ger, v'nimkar leger toshav yimach le'ikar mishpachas ger acharei nimkar gula tielo. After you're sold, you can be redeemed. Someone can buy you back. Echad me'achav yigalena, one of his brothers will redeem him, or some kind of relative. And then it says v'chishiv imkoneo mishnasi machalo. You have to figure out how long you had been sold for. To figure out how much you owe the guy, the nachar you were sold to, anshnas yovel, because you would have gone free in the yovel year. So anyway, you make a cheshbon of how much money it was to buy you back, and you pay the guy, and you go free. That's the pashup shot in the psukim. That's the pashup shot. And the Rabbeinu Bechai brings this amazing midrash that says it refers to the Dalad Malchios. Remember, there's the four kingdoms that we are in Golas under, and that is Bavel, Paras and Madai, Yavan, and Romi, which we're still under today. So he says, this is how you read it. This is the midrash Tanchuma. It says, if you're sold to a ger refers to Nebuchadnezzar, or Vitoshav, that refers to Paras and Madai. V'nimkar leger toshav imach, that refers to Yavon. O le'eker mishpachas ger, that refers to Rome. Why is Rome called Eker? Because that's the malchus that will eventually be ne'ekar, be totally destroyed. The different reasons why each malchus is called what it is. Toshav goes on Paras and Madai because they helped us get the Beis HaMikdash back. Cyrus, right? Anyway, different reasons why each word represents that, but that's what it says. Ger is Bavel, Toshav is Malchus Madai, Nimkar Ger Toshav Malchus Yavan, and Ola Eker Mishpachas Ger is Romi. So if you follow along, that means we're sold to the Jewish people are sold to these four Gullises. We're in exile by these four people, these four Malchuses, these four kingdoms. And then the pasuk goes on, Acharei Nimkar, after we get sold, Gula Tielo, we will be redeemed. Echad me echad yigalenu, one of its brothers will redeem him. Who is that referred to? You guessed it, Mashiach. Mashiach ben David. And why is he called Echad me achiv? It's because he's the miyuchad. But it comes from the yuchad shebechal ashvatim. It'll be David who brings the geula. And then, you have in the next pasuk, Oh, he sigi, I don't know how he explains the words in between, but then it says, oh, he sigi yado v'nigal. So, that's if, he sigi yado v'nigal means we had enough money to be nigal, meaning we did tshuva. That's what it means. We're masigad, we had enough ability to be goel ourselves, through tshuva. When that happens, the pasuk continues, v'chishayev im koneo. So then Hashem's going to make a cheshbon with the people who bought us as slaves, meaning those kingdoms that caused us all those tzaros. Hashem's going to make a cheshbon all the years till the Yovel, means till the Geula, based on how many years they enslaved us and how bad they were, you know, all that kind of stuff. Make a cheshbon with them, how bad they were, and take vengeance on them. And then, skip to Pasuk Nandalad, v'im lo yiga'el ba'ela. If we don't get, right, we had said before, the first thing was, oh, hisiga yado v'nigal, we have enough money to be tepoda ourselves. That means we did tshuva, we were able to be poda ourselves, and then he makes this cheshbon and destroys the goyim, you know, whatever, or takes vengeance on them, I should say, for what they did to us. Bim lo yigael be'ele, but if we can't redeem ourselves, meaning we don't deserve it, then what? It goes on forever. V'yatza b'shnasa yovel. We'll eventually go out. At the yovel time, whatever that time is set, that the Jewish people will be redeemed, there's a set time, as we all know, there's Be'ita or Achishena. There's a set time where the Gula must come by. So whether we're deserving of it or not, based on our Maisim, the Gula comes at a certain date. If we're deserving of it earlier, then the Gula comes first. If not, then there'll be some time, Achna Sayovel, and then Mechishev Lo Kefishana Yashavis Gula. So eventually, that comes the Gula, no matter what. I'm sorry, I read the wrong pasuk there. If we're not redeemed, if we can't redeem ourselves, we go out at Yovel. Hu banavimo. What does that mean? He says refers to the two groups, the nidachim and the nefutzim, those who are cast aside and those who are spread about. All of them come eventually, and then it says, Kili bnei Yisrael. That just like in Mitzrayim, when the time came to come, they left that millisecond. Same thing when the Zman Geula Hasida comes, whenever that time is, it'll happen that nanosecond. That's when we get a Geula, just like it was in Mitzrayim. And it ends off, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem, you can trust me. In other words, I am Hashem, I will do what I say I will do. So that's a nice Midrash. One other thing you see from this, that you have to, it says, V'chishevim konehu, that you have to make a cheshbon with the nachri that you were sold to, the person who's being goel, you have to make a cheshbon of how much you were worth. That is to say, gezel hagoy is aser. Now why is that aser? Rabbeinu B'chai says, mishum chilul Hashem. And where do you see that? Earlier in the Chumash? Think about it, where can you find that gezel hagoy is aser earlier in the Chumash? It's in Bereishis. So he says, by Yaakov, the Shvatim, when they went to Egypt, and Moshe, and Yaakov, Yosef, sent back with them their money. So Yaakov told them, go back to Mitzrayim and bring your money with you. Why? Tosakum. No. Mikpei Chilul Hashem. Or maybe you say Kiddush Hashem. Whatever it is, he told them to bring back, their stuff. That's his, Raya. And also he says, you find Chilul Hashem is very, thing we take into account from Shlomo. Now there's a similar idea. What I mean is, Shlomo, when he built the base of Mikdash, he davened that when a Yid davens, Hashem should listen to his tefillah if it's good for if it's good for him or if it's appropriate for him. But he davened that if a Nachri comes to the base of Mikdash, Hashem should listen to his tefillah no matter what. No matter what. Even if it's good for him, not good for him, he should listen to his tefillah. Why? Because a Yid, if Hashem doesn't listen, he says, okay, I wasn't deserving. Whereas a Nachri would say, oh, so there's nothing to this Hashem. So that's why, Mipnei Chil Hashem, Shlomo davened that Hashem should accept the tefillahs of Nachrim immediately, no matter what. I should say, I don't know about immediately, but no matter what, Hashem should accept their tefillahs. It's the same thing. It's important even Tosakim, which is technically Mutter, Mipnei Kiddush Hashem, person has to return it. And finally, at the very end, a very interesting thing, the last words of the Baal Shem, so say Tishmeru Mikdashi Tiro Ani Hashem. So the Rabbeinu B'chai says, why does it say Ani Hashem at the end? Tells you Yisod, something to know. Anytime you see Ani Hashem by a mitzvah, it means it's a very serious mitzvah. It means it's a very chomer mitzvah. He says it's like someone, a king, that tells his Eved to do something, and then he adds at the end, by the way, I'm the king who tells you to do this. Why are you adding that at the end? It means to say you take this seriously. So the Rabbeinu B'chai says, anytime you see Ani Hashem written by a mitzvah or by an Avera, that means That's an extra chamer mitzvah or avera. Okay, we'll stop here.